Hey guys, you already know that we're sponsored by Doghouse Systems and have been for years, and how much we love those guys and how much we love our Doghouse Systems. They purr like kittens and they play games like bosses. Well, they want to let you know they have a brand new system, the Armor VS. Been updated and has a new chassis, new lower price. Can be configured with an i3, i5, or i7 processor from Intel. And they're awesome. Use our code FROGPANTS at checkout, and two things will happen. One, you'll get this rad computer. But two, you'll get a free 120GB hard drive, SSD, for free. Solid state drive, fast as hell, for free. In addition to the drive that's already in the machine that you're configuring. Go check them out. DoghouseSystems.com. Look for the Armor VS series. Do it today.
Madonna. There we go. Let's do it.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, covering World of Warcraft and all things Blizzard since 2006. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Willie Dills Gregory. Hello, Dills.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
Hey, man. Good. How are things over there? You guys doing all right?
Things are good. San Francisco kicking. I saw Book of Mormon last night.
Oh, that's really good, isn't it?
It was incredible, actually. Yeah. I didn't know what to expect because I didn't know the cast, the San Francisco version of it, which I guess... it was a big deal.
The Matt and the Trey Parker, Matt Stone, those guys. Yeah. They ain't just little cartoonist men.
I thought it was excellent. I thought it was like right, like the way that they kind of do things, where they lampoon things, but they also kind of show you that they get it, that it's not all black and white.
Yeah,
and I thought they did that pretty well.
Equal opportunity offenders, and there's other words I can't think of right now.
And defenders.
I've always liked that. I like that a lot. Also with us, joining us all the way from freaking France, Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick.
Oh, hey there, Scott. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you come in over the sound of the fact that I have already seen Avengers 2 Age of Ultron.
Did you bastards. Watch it on your Apple Watch?
You bastards.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't hear you, Terpster, over the sound of me having an Apple Watch.
Yeah, the one that you barely can stand on your hand and think
it's too
tiring.
Wait, do the Apple Watches just make noise all the time? Sounds like a terrible feature.
The fart apps.
The worst product to come out of. One.
Yeah, it's all the fart apps
and
again.
I'm very sad to tell you that both of those things that I have exclusively experienced are terrible disappointments.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, there you go.
For real? No, wait. Hold on. Back up. Yeah, now, I know that the watch thing is dubious in terms of interface and whether or not it's the thing we need and all that, but you're telling me the Avengers Age of Ultron is not good? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I didn't say it wasn't good. So I have enjoyed Avengers 1. I think it's one of my favorite movies of all time, even to an extent possibly taking 500 Days of Summer's place in my heart.
He's French, so you guys. He's French. Just remember. Just remember he's French. It's really hard also, yes. But yes.
the bar was both hard and high.
All right.
And it's not that it's...
like the Avengers.
So did you see Avengers 2?
Haven't seen it yet. No, I haven't seen it.
So the problem I have with it, and no spoilers, no nothing, you know how much I hate spoilers. I will never do that to anyone. But I think it has a little bit too much action and not enough heart. Mm. And it feels not as good as the first one for sure. It's not my favorite Marvel movie, and I think there are a lot of them that are better. It feels packed with too much and doesn't have enough breathing room. But, I'm going to go see it again. Maybe I'll change my mind, but it wasn't... maybe my expectations were too high, but it wasn't what I hoped it would be.
Is it Empire Strikes Back-ish in terms of it's a little darker than the other two and it's the middle chapter and things are always going a little south in the middle chapter? No? Maybe?
It doesn't feel like it.
It should be darker, just based on the villain.
So... yeah, it's well. There's I don't want to get into spoiler territory, so I won't say too much. But it does feel a little bit darker. But that's not what is an issue. It feels like, for me, I mean, anyone who's seen the trailer knows that there are a certain amount of characters, and for me, there are too many of them, and you don't really like them because they just come in and you know they're here, and you're like, who the fuck are you? Oh, I'm sorry. Who the hell are you? I apologize. Who the heck are you?
No, It's all right. iTunes still has our clean tag. I'll just beep it. It's fine.
No, yeah, yeah. Please do. I sorry, honestly did not mean to business. Do that. To do that. I honestly did not mean to.
I mean,
again.
The thing is much like who Pat, the heck I are hate you? Spoilers. And,
yeah.
I really do hate spoilers, but. Someone told me about the bit where Thor dies, and
yeah,
and then when Iron Man's just crying, and he's crying so much that Captain America hugs him, and then he realizes he enjoys that hug, and then they go into this whole gay romance thing. Yeah. I was like,
that
what?
Was out
and
of
that
place.
Comes from less. That comes yeah. exactly. Mm. That yeah. seems crazy.
I mean, I'm all for inclusion and minorities and all of that, but I mean, that was not. It didn't work.
It
in
felt
the movie.
Like
That's the
it
problem.
Felt like they were, you know, they were queer baiting. I believe is the term.
Is that the term?
It really, it wasn't is. The gay thing as much as it was the necrophilia thing that I had a problem
it
with.
No, I mean, honestly, I would be quite happy with Patrick ruining it for me because I don't think that I want to know the story and I want to have kind of fun with that world. But ultimately, I want to see it because I want to see like big action moments. I want to see
Hulk. Well, there's
yeah, I'm okay with what you said. Those are the bad
there's
things.
Definitely
I'm like
that.
Totally fine with that.
Yeah. And it's not a bad movie. It's actually I enjoyed it. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. It's just that I didn't enjoy it as much as I hoped I would. And Avengers 1, I thought, was the most brilliant thing ever because it managed to make, to marry action with fun in the same, you know, in one continuous experience that had everything you would hope for in a movie. And that worked without you ever thinking, you know, that's out of place or I didn't care about this or every scene was pretty much perfect. And in this one, there are great action movies, there are fun moments, there are slightly emotional moments, but they feel a little bit more discombobulated. And it's not that you think every character is brilliant. There are some of them that are cool, the bad guy is kind of fun, and some of them come out of nowhere. And so, but you'll enjoy it. And if anything, by me lowering your expectations, I think you'll enjoy
oh, no,
it.
Now we get
so
to
you're
enjoy
you're welcome.
Yeah, you didn't get to. Yeah. So that's the big killer of any good movie is high expectations.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the bullet for that on for us, Patrick.
You're welcome.
Because we appreciate that. And
I
also,
go into every movie expecting it to be kind of okay, and then I'm always happy.
Yeah. That's a good way to actually approach it. Yeah. I'm Star Wars. I'm having to really temper myself because I don't want my dreams shattered.
Just watch episode 1 before you go see it. It'll be fine with it, whatever it happens.
Yeah, eat a piece of dog poo before you eat that steak, and it'll be the best steak you ever had. That's how I look at it.
That is a really good idea.
It's not
I'm going to have some grass-fed steak and some poo with some grass in it.
Terpster, or Patrick, I hate to admit.
Hey,
hate
Siri,
to-
is Avengers good any good? No, is Avengers 2 any good? It didn't register.
It didn't work.
He doesn't understand when you just say all the words.
Sorry,
Patrick.
We just blurt it out. I will say this,
hey,
Patrick.
Siri,
I'm with
is Avengers too good? Why does it not work?
Because you fumbled your words.
Siri? Okay.
Siri's like, why are you asking me? I'm a robot.
I haven't seen it. You've seen it.
It's boycotting me because I'm not liking Ultron.
Oh, is that it? Oh, I see. Listen, I'm with you that movies need to have a soul, even action movies. So I hate to ever admit that Patrick is speaking my language, but at this very moment, you might be. So I'm going to try to take what you've said.
Siri disagrees with you, but by all means.
I will lower my expectations. I will go in as blind as I can go, and hopefully I'll enjoy the hell out of it. Time will tell. We get it next weekend. So
not there. The only movie news.
I'm going to see this in IMAX and stuff because if it's, you know, like these are the movies that's all made for. Because then if the action is action, whatever, and the rest of the movie is like kind of whatever.
Yeah.
It's still going to be fine.
Right.
Because it's big, giant, crazy screen and big, loud noises. So.
Oh, my gosh. Dills, it's the perfect transition to this. Speaking of movies, the Warcraft movie has been delayed to June 2016.
Mother God.
3 months. Why? Well, Duncan Jones says on Twitter, got good news and bad news. Universal has decided Warcraft deserves to be a summer flick. Yay. Bad news, that means we have to wait until June 2016. They also talked about it at CinemaCon, which was held, I want to say, in Vegas this week.
Can we just agree, though, that that's bad news and bad news? I wasn't like, oh, yeah, summer film, hell yeah, I can't wait to watch Warcraft in the summer. You know, that's great in terms of like people who are like, oh, now it may get more mainstream attention due to people being.
That, yeah, it's good news for
I don't care
people
about
who are
that.
Marketing the film.
Yeah.
I want to watch the film.
Yeah. So I'm assuming, and Dills, you've had some experience with this in California because you used to go to a lot of premieres and stuff. When they when they make a decision like this, it usually is based purely on we need to stack the deck as best we can for summer money and blockbuster success, and March doesn't smell like that to them. That's probably what's happening here.
Maybe, but also maybe the stuff isn't ready. I mean, they could just feel like we just need more time to get everything ready, and then Universal says, well, if we're going to wait, we're going to wait 3 months to make sure that we at least take advantage of the fact that we can now, you know, come out when all the big movies are coming out. The thing is, it's just that, like, that whole summer season, it's really just because a lot of people go to the movies during that period of time because kids are off school, kids are out of college, you know. People are
You have a lot of competition, and you have the big, I mean, usually there is a certain type of movie that ends up being the summer blockbuster movie, and
other movies usually suffer.
But the thing is, the studios keep their, you know, blockbusters, like the movies they have a lot of faith in for the summer, don't they?
Yeah, usually. I mean, or the ones that they think will do well. I mean, sometimes you get the sleeper hits that they just think there's a nice hole for, and it's the strategic bet that they place. But sometimes it's like, well, you know, big action blockbusters, these happen typically between May and August.
It's not a big ask, though, is it, that 100 million people have played World of Warcraft? It's going to have a huge audience out of the box. So, I mean, I don't think that they should be all of a sudden thinking like, hey, man, this movie could have legs. You know, it's going to be massive. It's going to be huge.
Sure.
And yeah, they may be trying to maximize that by doing it in the summer. It may be a great thing. Not for me. Yeah. I want to see it. It's 3 months later. I'm sorry, but I've already canceled my subscription. Thanks, Blizzard. But no thanks. Yeah. Because, well, come on.
In a way, it's very Blizzardy. It's when it's done.
It is. What? Maybe that would have been better.
No, because they announced it.
It's coming out soon.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be delayed coming out soon.
That's happened before.
Oh, yeah.
They've announced games. Expansions. I think it was, the Burning Crusade, I think, was delayed by 3 weeks. And they missed
Christmas.
The Christmas period, which was insane, you know, in video games term, you never do that. So, you know, they've done crazy things with dates.
Well, listen to this. So March 2016 releases that they were currently up against were things like Zootopia, Peregrine's Home for Peculiar something something. I can't read it because it's cut off. The Free State of Jones, Beverly Hills Cop, Divergent series, the final one.
Whoa. Beverly Hills Cop's coming out again.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they're doing
Axel.
He is. Eddie Murphy's
what?
In it. Oh, yeah.
Eddie Murphy's back.
Yeah, he's back. Back, baby.
What?
Oh, wow, that makes you go Patrick level of high.
This is
voice.
Fantastic news.
That's pretty high.
Why has no one told me before?
Well, I'm telling you now. This happened in March 2016 and something called...
And I don't have to choose anymore. Thank you, Duncan Jones.
Yeah.
It was good news after all.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yet a movie called Christ the Lord Out of Egypt. Yo, straight out of Egypt. It sounds like a Compton thing. And then you got Batman versus Superman. So that's your big competition. That's on March 25th.
Okay, hang on. Yeah. That's
so that'll be a big deal. Now, jump ahead to June. Here's the current lineup. And these things change, obviously. But we have a sequel to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reboot.
Which was stupidly high grossing, though.
Oh, it made a lot of money. Yeah. Worldwide, really? Especially. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Because it's a popcorn film.
Yeah.
That means the world is terrible.
The world is a bad place, Dills. We need to get off this boat. Sausage Party. I can't wait to see what the hell that is.
Okay. I thought that was the instance.
The Uncharted movie is currently slated for that month. And some other things like Transformers 5, Critical Intelligence, Finding Dory. Oh, good Lord. Independence Day 2 is that month. And The Conjuring 2, something, something. And then Warcraft is now in that mix. So Warcraft is going up against another video game franchise, film to film, and Transformers 5.
One.
And Independence Day 2. Now, in
Independence
theory,
Day and Transformers are the ones that would be concerning.
Yeah. Now, they technically, though, it's all about what weekend you open on, right? So Warcraft opens the same weekend as The Conjuring 2, Uncharted, and Now You See Me 2.
Okay, so they're fine.
I think they're fine.
Have a big weekend, at least.
They have 2 weeks before Transformers 5 and Independence Day go head-to-head, assuming these dates hold. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Could be interesting.
Well, okay, so when you have the big first weekend, that's great, because that usually builds the momentum into the second weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But, I feel like, I don't know, like Terps, you're saying, all these people have played this game, but you still got to get like all the you know, quote unquote, cool college kids who never played that dumb Warcraft game to want to go see this movie.
Sure.
And I'm not sure they're going to get that unless they really tout it as this is a massive, big action movie that you're going to want to see.
Let's say, you know, I know a lot of people have tried Warcraft, but let's say the faithful right now is at whatever we're at, 12 million. Let's say that we go crazy and say 20 million people are interested. So let's go 20 million people. Hold on, I gave the number right here. That's 2 million. Okay, 20 million times, let's say tickets are $750 on average around the country. So this is just in the States. That means they could do, potentially, if everybody went weekend one, $150 million that first weekend. That's pretty freaking good. So I'm kind of, I'm on both sides of this. I think you need the mainstream, but I also think you want to just, all, you know, I think the base could probably cover your first weekend. The problem is the weekends after that, right? Because you're going to have a huge drop-off, and that's bad for Warcraft. So I think it's probably smart where they put it. It sucks for us because we want to see it earlier, but I also don't think it would do well up against Superman because that will have mainstream appeal and make this seem like a lesser of a thing. So who knows what the decision-making was, but there you go. You're going to have to wait. And the States gets this one first, not freaking Europe, those bastards.
I'm totally okay with this, honestly. We're not sure about this.
Actually, we don't know. Yeah, I made that up.
No, we don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm totally okay with this.
It's filmed in Vancouver, so Terpster
said he's disappointed. I understand the disappointment because you want to see it as soon as you can. But like 3 months, I don't know. Like for me, it's like something that's going to happen already like months from now. And then it getting pushed back 3 months like means almost nothing to me.
Sure.
Like when I think about that. Like, I'm only really concerned with things that are coming, like, pretty soon, you know?
Kind of.
And this already felt far enough away that I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well. Even more so, as the older I get, the less 3 months matters to me. I mean, that's an entire summer off school. So back in the day, it was like the longest time ever.
You're like, oh, God, that's just forever.
Now you don't care. Yeah. It's like, whatever. 3 months is fine. Real quick, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, currently top box office earner with a 4% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So everyone should run out.
As it should be.
And see Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, as soon as they can. All right.
Jeez.
Enough about the movie. Anyway, we are looking forward to it, and good luck to everybody. And I like that Duncan Jones is at least putting a positive spin on the delay. The WoW token, speaking of Europe, coming on April 21st. Y'all excited? You excited? Oh, you did? When'd you get it?
It came out April 21st.
Oh, wait. What day is it today?
April 24th.
Now. Oh, shite. I put this in the notes a week ago.
It will be here. In the
3 days
future
ago.
Of April 21st, 2015.
All right, so how did it go? I haven't been paying attention to, like, has it risen and fallen the way the...
When I looked a couple of days ago, it was 40,000 gold, which I thought, holy moly, that's high. I'm just going to hearth back to the Golden Lantern and have a quick look. I'll let you know.
Okay, I'm going to look too here, trying to see if there's anything about it. Other than there's lots of things announcing that it happened, but it doesn't say much about...
Yeah, I don't think it's a huge deal.
Is it just less of
a
deal
there? Yeah, because the 10 minute price thing as well, it hasn't been fluctuating anywhere near as much as the American one was, because that updated every minute.
Has Blizzard ever broken down before?
Harvey,
you read that?
Says buyout is, there you go, still 40,365 gold.
Weird.
So currently over here, the WoW token, I think, is worth a lot more. I think it's, again, just because of the economy. I think we have more money than the Americans. So, you know.
Maybe.
I think that's how it goes.
That might be it, but that's what I was going to ask. Is Blizzard, I don't think Blizzard's ever broken down their percentage of paying players by region, have they? I mean, they'll say, we got 12 million people, but they don't go, 60% are in the States and 40 in whatever. They don't do that.
No, they never do that.
See, I'd be very curious about that because I'm guessing that has a big impact on this sort of thing.
No, it wouldn't.
Sure, Sure, it would. Think about it.
Of course not.
Because you've got...
It's a percentage.
Yeah, but you've got less... It's not a percentage of the same token pile, though. It's a separate pile of tokens.
Are you saying that your tokens are worth less gold because there's more tokens and you flooded the market?
Correct. That's what I'm getting at. That's what I think.
But
I'm theorizing.
It wouldn't, because for as many... For the people who buy tokens, then they... There are people who will buy them, and
but maybe that's
an
American
percentage.
Thing, though.
What?
Maybe that's it.
What?
Maybe Americans are more likely to spend money buying tokens, whereas us Europeans, we're so busy being liberal, free, and drinking fine wines.
you're spending all your money on cheeses, wines, cigarettes, all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that to me makes a lot more sense.
The legal prostitutes of your countries and stuff. Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's a lot of other things to spend your money on.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Illegal. Hey, so
no, I said legal.
Legal. Legal.
Oh, I said okay. Legal. All right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Look at Patrick get all fired up about that.
I know. He's about to be like, "Hey, hold on."
That's hilarious.
We legalized it, man.
I'm just saying, there's less of them because there's less, and because they're not buying them up and going crazy with them like we probably are here. Because again, there are less people.
It's been out for a while though here, so I feel like it's not. I don't know. It's
not
like,
enough
I
time.
Think maybe people here tested it, guinea pigged it because they're curious.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You guys might be a little less curious because it's already been
That's
a thing.
True. Yeah. But I think if anything changes, Scott, it wouldn't be the fact that we have less players, period. It would be the fact that, as Terpster is saying, and it hurts me to say this, he might be right, we have a different dynamic between people who are buying them and people who are selling them than you have in the U.S.
Yeah, that could be possible. That's entirely possible, yeah. I it'll be interesting to see, though, the fact that it jumped to 40. They all started at 30. That's important to note, both here in the States and there. So we didn't have a jump to 30. We went lower than 30.
I think initially it went to maybe not. You're right. It went down immediately.
Yeah, went down, and then
but it did go up at times.
It did. It crawled up and then it went down again. It's sitting around 23 or something now. But to see it jump to 40, that's just I don't know how you explain it. There's probably none of us at this table are economists in any way or shape or form. So if anyone out there wants to interpret it,
give it a go.
Send it in. Let us know.
Well, there's maybe the reason is that we do have more money in game, so we're buying them faster, and it drives the price up because the offer is drying up.
Is this a chat room theory that's happening?
Is that chat what's happening? Theory?
Yeah, did someone in the chat room say that, or are you just some
idea? No. It's just
using his insightful mind.
Okay, good, because don't believe these chuckleheads in the chat room. They'll.
No. I'm just saying, the reason why the price would go up is that there's more demand than supply, and that might be the reason why.
That could be. What else?
Basic economics.
Yeah,
Scott.
There you go.
But that could be interpreted both ways. It could be interpreted that people have more in-game gold. It could be interpreted that people are not buying the real money version as much.
Yeah.
It could or be a combination of
them. Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Confused. It could be that they're snooty buttholes.
If there's less of them out there, they're worth more in gold. Right?
Could be.
So that means less people are purchasing them in the first place using the real money to then add them into the WoW economy.
True. Right.
So but
I get you. So, I get you, Dills.
So more Americans are buying them for the real money and then putting them out there so there's more of them available.
Because of our entrepreneurial spirit, damn it. That's what's happening.
That's exactly why. Does Europe win or not?
No. Yes. No.
Well, you can look at it two ways. Fine. You could say that Europe wins for most expensive WoW tokens.
Europe wins!
I think it depends on how you define winning, but by our definition of winning,
your definition is whichever way makes Europe win.
Winning!
Sit back.
By the way, if you've ever watched the Moscone Cup, it's the weirdest thing to hear people chant, You're up.
Yeah.
I've never heard it before, and they were doing it. I think it's just because it's like the, antithesis to the USA chant, right?
Yeah.
So they got to do that. Yeah. But it was just so bizarre to hear.
Cup is.
Oh, it's like a pool. It's a pool competition. It's like a Europe versus. It's like the Ryder Cup of golf, but for pool.
Yeah.
So it's USA versus Europe.
Yeah, get with
it. Europe dominates. Like, they just destroy us. So you guys should be happy about that.
Yeah, bunch of pool sharks over there.
Hey, we win at pool.
Hey, man, it's a big deal.
And WoW tokens.
And WoW tokens.
Don't forget those.
Patrick, look, you can't even be happy about a thing your country or your freaking region is winning at.
You guys can keep World War II. We win at pool in WoW tokens.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right.
Yeah.
See,
my prostitution had to be legalized in Europe.
Hey, we know what you guys really
like. You guys
are
winning at that too.
This is how we know what you really like. This clip from last week. Here you go.
I lily lily like lily.
Great. It's a classic moment. Finally, there's more stuff, but BlizzCon tickets went on sale twice, as we talked about last week. The second time they went on sale was after last week's show, and there are people who are not happy with how it all went. The Eventbrite setup didn't work as intended, and according to Eventbrite, they're super sorry for how it went. Wednesday,
what actually happened?
Well, here's what they said. On Wednesday evening, we had an incredible demand for BlizzCon tickets, but unfortunately, our waiting room did not work as we expected. While thousands of people were successful in securing a BlizzCon ticket, sadly, we let others down. Our team spent the rest of the week working on a fix that we thought would remedy the issue and that some encountered on Wednesday, so BlizzCon's second on sale would be seamless. Unfortunately, Saturday morning, we experienced significant site slowness due to BlizzCon's second sale. We understand what a frustrating experience it was for those who purchased tickets. Now, basically what happened is people were told they were in this room, right? Oh, you're in the waiting room. You're totally in line to get a ticket. And then when it would say it's time to get your ticket, they'd be booted out and have to log in and re-enter all their stuff. And by then everything was gone. Kind of stuff like that was happening all over the place.
Well, that seems like a problem.
It does seem like a problem. So what I wanted to bring up was this idea. Somebody had floated, maybe even here, maybe or somewhere. Somebody had suggested the idea.
Yeah, I did.
I think it was you.
Last week.
Will you kind of reiterate why that would work better than what they ended up doing? Because clearly that didn't work very well.
Yeah, hopefully you're talking about the same thing as I am.
I think so.
It's going to be awkward.
Yeah.
Basically, what I was saying is that by this point, it seems that the only system that would work is that you would, get into do a raffle. So you would say, I want a ticket, and then Blizzard would take all of the people who want a ticket over a week, and everyone would have time to register. It would be, a very easy process. And then they randomly choose the number of people that can get the number of tickets that can be bought. They send emails to those people. If they confirm, they have the opportunity to buy the tickets. If they don't, you have other people that get the opportunity. And that's easier. That's the way Apple does it for the WWDC. And you don't need to worry about the immense influx of people trying to connect to your service at the same time. Because if Eventbrite is not managing to handle these things, I think it means that, that's what they do. That's
they're the biggest dog in town too. They're the biggest
right, with
this sort of thing. Sure.
So, and I understand that there is something to be said about the excitement of getting in line and hoping you're going to get the ticket. And it's a little bit more tame to, just enter your name and then maybe hope you're going to get it and maybe not. And it's just random. But there's also something to be said about not having a horrible experience for everyone in your
not having to spend your whole day
fan base
doing it,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Morning or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Can't we make this a bit more fun though? Can't we make this something to do in the Dark Moon Fair? Like complete a mini game.
Log into the game?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Like beat the innkeeper.
But what if
innkeeper?
You don't play World of Warcraft? You just play Hearthstone.
Yeah. Hey, well, exactly. Beat the innkeeper in Hearthstone. Okay. Or you've got
every game would have a thing. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe like Willy Wonka, you open a Hearthstone pack and inside you get a golden BlizzCon ticket.
Ooh.
All right.
Why not make it fun?
But what if I'm a 78-year-old grandpa who wants to surprise his two grandkids with tickets to this thing he doesn't understand?
I'm sorry, grandpa. It's the most in-demand show. Jog on. But
How about this? We keep out the noobish kids and the noobish grandpas. You got to get legend in Hearthstone. You got to get rank one
in Heroes of the Storm.
You get your ticket.
I'm out.
No, it has to be like Hearthstone. It has to be complete RNG with no skill involved at any time.
It also has to be pay to win then, right?
Oh, obviously, exactly. Yeah. So you can buy more packs if you want to.
right, you can register. You have to pay a small amount, not much, like $15 to register. Uh-huh. To have a chance to be able to buy your ticket, but you can buy as many chances as you want.
Okay.
So you can register, 15, 20, 100
times. And if I'm incredibly
rich,
can I just buy like a fast pass to get to the front of the line and guarantee that I win?
Yeah.
Actually, that might be a reason why not to do it that way, because that there are going to be a lot of people who register with 15 different email addresses and, who create fake accounts for that. So that I can see how it would be.
You could easily do it in games though, because all the games have, levels to accomplish. So they could just be like, okay, now you've got to get to, this level, you've got to unlock this something in the game and you're eligible. And that's it. I just think that, it'd be fun for Blizzard as a games company to gamify ticket queues or, how do you do this and how can they make an extension?
Yeah.
And maybe if you don't get in, then it's a great way for them to push the virtual ticket because you've got all these people who've expressed an interest in BlizzCon. And you're like, well, really sorry, but here you go. You get 10% off the virtual ticket because you had a go.
Yeah, that could be fun. But then it excludes people to an extent.
If it's Blizzard games, you have to play a Blizzard game and each game has a suitable mechanic. If you are going to BlizzCon and you don't play Blizzard games, you shouldn't be going to BlizzCon.
I think that you just opened up why it's a problem, because what you're creating a situation where you wouldn't want... Blizzard, it benefits, I think, from people, even some curiosity, like a guy who plays nothing but EverQuest is like, I'll see what BlizzCon's about. I live
no
in Anaheim.
No one is going to pay $200 to go to
SOE Daybreak, whatever they're called.
I'm actually with Terpster here. Now we're talking, like, Comic-Con is all gentrified with models and people who don't give a crap about any of the comic books or anything, right? Yeah. They're just there for the scene. And BlizzCon is BlizzCon. It should be about Blizzard, man.
Wait, I'm with you, Terpster. Have you been to BlizzCon? Have you seen people who don't care about Blizzard at BlizzCon?
Sure. Absolutely.
What? Sure.
Well, not many.
When I was there, I saw a really grumpy French guy. I don't know if he was grumpy.
He was just getting
time.
A paycheck to be there. Yeah. He didn't even care about it.
Yeah. I saw a British guy in the most abominable shorts I've ever seen in my life one year.
Exactly.
Oh my
but
gosh.
I would imagine that he probably could have completed an in-game challenge to win the right to be there. And for that,
I think it's less common at BlizzCon. For sure.
Yeah.
If it's simple enough, maybe that gives you a second chance of getting it or increases your chance or something.
Maybe.
But I can't wait to get the emails where everyone thinks we're serious about this right now.
Right. They probably, some people do. They probably do. But here's the thing. Patrick's probably...
I'm really offended because I don't play any Blizzard games. I hate games. But I like to meet up with my friends that I met once in games that I hate. And I don't want to have to play a game in order to get into a game-related event, especially games specifically about the event I would be attending. It's meant to be a fan show.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. But I think in the end, if they're going to change, it's probably closer to what Patrick's suggesting. That's my thinking.
The really, really funny thing is that we had huge issues.
What?
Oh, come on. Go again.
I was just going to play Lily again. Hold on.
I like Lily. Right. So I was really, back when Hearthstone was opening for beta, the demand was so huge that we had when I was at the company, we had sites crashed because when they were offering the keys, people would rush in and create scripts, and it was a terrible experience. So we got a fairly decent bollocking from Team 5, and then very strict guidelines from Team 2 for delivering the keys, like what we could and could not do, and how those things should be handled in order to provide a good experience for the customers. So I'm just saying, you know what? We had to do that for all of the partner sites and the media sites. I think they should worry about the way they're offering their own services as well. What we ended up going to was the raffle system, because that's the only one that can handle that kind of demand. So, just saying.
Fair enough.
It's kind of how they do the betas these days anyway. I mean, like the hero stuff, you just sign up and then you just hope, right?
Yeah, you hope it shows up in your account. I mean, they sprinkle keys later, but you know.
That's so boring.
Well, Terpster, we can make you jump through some hoops.
Exactly. Sign-up process should be that you have to do something in a game. And I don't care what it is. And maybe it's like, you know, I'm sorry, but if for like, you know, Winter's, you know, Vale or something, I have to, you know, go see Great Father Winter and maybe I open some presents. Maybe each time I complete a daily quest throughout a given week, I increase my chances by a minimal marginal amount, but at least something that the true fans can be like, oh, well, at least I tried. You know, I really went
for it. I just found
the
hole in this, though. This won't work at all because people have to make plans for flights, for hotels, for like real world stuff.
You do it in advance.
Yeah, once you have a ticket or you make it cancel, you know, refundable.
Yeah, but a lot of people...
How is it different from the way it's working now, though?
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. I guess you still have this chance of getting screwed by Eventbrite or whatever, and it's the same as getting screwed by not having the RNG land on you in the game. So I suppose it's similar. But I think that would come off worse, because at least with the ticket thing, the implication is if you do everything right, you're going to get a ticket, even though that's not true, there's a chance you won't.
But that's what I'd say to this. If you log in every day and you manage to beat the innkeeper, ho-ho, Goldshire footman, and you're like, oh, come on, this is boring. But you would still have a chance to win a ticket or win the right to buy a ticket I don't know. There must just be a better way than Eventbrite. Come on.
There has to be a better way.
Yeah. We have to be better than Bon Jovi, guys. Come on, there's just no reason. I cannot see a reason.
Bon Jovi uses Eventbrite? I didn't know that. That's funny.
Well,
everybody uses Eventbrite.
Nerdtacular uses Eventbrite.
Krakencon, which I'll be at this weekend.
Oh, yeah. People should go to that and say hi to Dills. He'll be at Krakencon.
They should, yeah. If you're in the Bay Area. It's in the Oakland Convention Center. I'll be there on Saturday speaking, and then Sunday we'll just be playing Hearthstone all day.
So what
are you talking about?
It's KrakenCon.
I'm going to talk about Krakens.
Yeah.
Talk about cons.
All right.
I'm talking about my whole thing is I'm the only podcaster who's going. So I'm going to give a 1 hour talk about podcasting and how to get into it. And
nice.
Maybe make money if you want to get into that. Nice. If that's what you want to do.
That's cool.
Charge for it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the whole thing's about making money.
And then sit down, you see, well, how do you make money then? You say, what you do?
Well,
you get the
$5 and I'll
tell you.
So give me a buck.
You charge people $5 and that's it. There you go.
Hold on.
You can go on and do the same thing I just did to you.
I need to understand the origins of this thing. KrakenCon, based on what? Is it truly like, was it originally a bunch of people that are really into Krakens and other sea fantasy creatures?
I don't know the name or where it comes from. It's mostly comic books and anime and stuff. That's its origin.
Maybe it just sounds cool. KrakenCon.
Yeah. I think they just, came up with a cool name.
Yeah.
But,
all right. Well, Patrick said bollocking today. That's true. But Patrick said bollocking today. You took a good bollocking. Is that a French or European thing for balls, or is that ball licking?
Turf balls.
Okay.
Yeah, bollocking is like when you get told off.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, bollocking. Yeah.
When I say ball licking, that's not ball licking.
No, ball licking is a very different thing.
Okay.
A bollocking is like a real, you're going to get you're going to get told off, you're going to get whooped later. But no, it's not anything past that.
All right. I don't know what our equivalent is. I'm trying to think of it. What is a good ass whooping, a good
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh man, you're gonna get your ass busted up for that.
I don't think anyone says that. Everyone says that in prison, sure.
It must be I don't know. That'd be an American. Right,
look, sometimes there's not a word for everything in every language,
All right. Other stuff around Blizzard, just a couple of quick things. If you're a Diablo 3 fan, they're removing trials before Greater Rifts, and I think that's a good thing. And they're talking big talk about how they hate it internally, and it's not even in their internal builds now. So if that was something you hated in Diablo, then you'll be happy to know that's going away.
How do you have to start from the beginning every time now?
They haven't detailed that, and that's what's interesting. And I don't think they can just yank it out wholesale because it will affect a lot of downstream systems.
Maybe? And then you set a level and then carry on, or maybe,
maybe it's based on your item level, or
I think it's going to be just have torment stuff applied. So because right now you can totally gain the system by hiding up in the corner and letting stuff sit there for a long time, and then finally coming out and killing it all at the end of the time limit, and then go in at like level nothing.
I would know, Scott. I don't exploit in games.
I've been a part of one. I never did it myself, but I went on a couple of runs.
But people want to have like a lower level than they're supposed to, right?
Correct.
So it's kind of silly.
So that's part of it. The other half of it is just kind of arduous and dumb. So they're thinking, well, what if it was just, I want to go in there at Torment 5 and go at it and upgrade my gems on the honest, like that's kind of what the thinking is. So it may just be simplified down to, the difference here is you're upgrading gems and doing a different kind of loot grab and the time thing, and that's the difference between this and regular Rift. So
I kind of like it just being kind of linear.
Yeah,
you
agree.
Just come in and then you just do whatever, and the next step, not this like thing where you go in, just set the bar, and then move on from there.
I don't like racing clocks either. I hate that in games generally.
Yeah, and also, the fact is there's no actual incentive to do really well at that if you actually understand what you're doing.
Right, because you're just there to upgrade your gems or get them if they haven't dropped. So I think it's a good move, and I'm excited to see how they implement it because I still love that game. Wing 4 of Black Rock Mountain out for Hearthstone. I guess it's... is that the final bit?
No, there's one more.
Oh, so there's 5 wings or 5 pieces?
Yeah, 5. All right. The secret laboratory is...
Which no one knows what's in it.
Don't tell anyone.
Well, I know what cards are in it, but I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, you do? That's all been.
Yeah, we know everything that's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So guess who's on an 8-game winning streak because Adil's rad in your face freaking Hunter deck. Yeah, I haven't lost a game in 8 games. Yeah.
So are you playing Face Hunter?
Big time.
Face Hunter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, but act disappointed, Scott, and act like it's a problem.
You're part of the problem. You're part of the problem, aren't you?
No, he's not. He's actually part of the solution to a guy who doesn't have a lot of cards.
Yeah. I am a guy. Facehunter,
fair enough.
Facehunter needs to exist. And yeah. If it goes away, that's bad for the game.
I agree.
Because a player like Scott can compete.
Yeah.
I logged in and looked at his account, and I was like, we can make a deck that works out of this.
The problem is I've spent a lot of money on the game deals, and so how am I meant to win?
It's not fair that... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right.
It's not fair that Scott, who hasn't wasted a lot of money on this game, is able to play on the same tier as me.
Yeah.
It's free to play, not free to win. Okay, yeah. So... Yeah.
I mean, I've been playing way more than I used to, and the phone has certainly helped with that, but I'm like rank... What am I, 17 now?
Yeah, that's good. You were ranked 25 when we made the deck.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
my biggest problem with the phone has been that I start playing in areas where the Wi-Fi probably or cellular signal shouldn't, you know, allow me to play very stably. So quite a few times I've been I've lost games just through DCs.
Oh, lost some stars that way too, I'll bet.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, there's nothing quite like beating someone while you're on the toilet. So
well, on the other end of this content, this Black Rock Mountain stuff, is the general consensus that they did real good here, that it's better than Nax, that it's that they're finding their footing with this particular...
I wouldn't say better than Nax, but I think they gave us some really cool cards and the really cool boss fights, and
I think the boss fights are more fun, aren't they? They're more crazy, it feels.
You could argue that, I'm sure. I think that what's more fun about them is that you have more cards, so there's more ways to tweak a deck to play against them, and more ways that they can tweak. Like, because there was one of the bosses actually is like a mill deck and tries to mill you out and stuff like that, which is wouldn't have worked in Axe at all. So it's really, really well done, of course. And
plus, this latest wing is the best because the way the innkeeper introduces Chromagus. It's the best introduction of any
let's hear it
because it's like Chromagus. He gets like really like it's completely different from any other time.
He really likes Chromagus.
Oh man, I love Chromagus.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I'm so glad he's here.
Yeah,
you know, he really likes him a lot. Amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just excited for this last wing to come out because I want to play Dragon Paladin really bad, but I'm still missing a couple of key cards.
Really? There's a good
you can do it, but you're not quite there yet. Like the last wing has the 3/5 that also does 3 damage. If you have a dragon in hand and stuff, it's like a mini fire elemental. And like that card is going to be amazing for Dragon Paladin. And then it's also got the 6/4 that is cheaper based on how many creatures have died, which is also a dragon. There's just a few cards. I'm like, if I had those, this deck would be insane. I still don't have those, so I'm like, have like a bastardized version of it right now.
The Dragon Paladin deck I've played has been really good.
It still is great. Because if you think about, so this will go over some people's heads probably who don't play Hearthstone, but if you think about the curve of that deck, you can play a 5/5 on turn 5, and then you can play an 8-drop on turn 6, because it makes, like, so you can play Cro-Magnus on turn 6.
Or you can do Ysera on turn 7, which has just won me so many games.
Yeah. But I like going that guy into Chromagus, into Dr. Boom, into Onyxia or whatever. I don't know. It's just insane. You can just do crazy stuff.
Well, I'm glad everyone's loving it. So that's good.
And it feels good to be chucking out these massive dragons from the history of Hearthstone. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm fine. Like, I wanted to play with Onyxia forever and I didn't get to. Now I get to.
Right. She wasn't a useful thing and now she is. Thank you, Onyxia. More dots. All right. Finally, this Sunday, the Heroes of the Dorm Final Four, the Heroic Four. I have loved this stuff. This is the most esportsy I've ever been in my life about anything. And I don't know why.
Well done.
It's extremely well done. The casting's really good. They're in progress, real-time viewer thing they're using, which apparently is also being honed for updates in the game itself, so people can use that to...
Yeah, right now you can only watch replays, I think.
Yes, so. If you do a custom game between two teams, there are observer slots, but I haven't actually tried it, so I don't know.
I haven't tried that either, I was waiting for some people to play the other day, because they're already in a game. And I'm like, I wish I could just watch you guys right now while I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Because that's the one problem I've had with the game is where, since the games last, 15, 20 minutes or whatever, if I log in and you guys are already in a game, I have to sit there and wait, or, you know, or queue. And then if I queue, I miss you guys because you guys finished and I'm still in.
Yeah.
So it's like hard to get that timing right sometimes.
Yeah. It ends up being a weird loop where you're never in the
same
game.
Yeah. So you're just sitting around for a while.
It's frustrating, but I think that's coming. I think they've said as much, but when that comes, it'll make a lot of sense because I can easily burn 15, 20 minutes watching you guys finish a game while I'm waiting to get next. And that's fun. That's a totally fun way to do that. And the games are so short. The other day I caught myself watching a 2 hour Dota 2 match, which just about made me want to kill myself. I don't know why I was doing that, but
why were you doing that?
I don't know why I was doing that. But the pace of these games, the caliber of play between these universities has been so much fun to watch. Completely into it right now. So that's this Sunday again. I don't know what time it starts, but if you have if you don't have cable and you don't have ESPN3, but you do have an ISP who, like, say Comcast, who's a qualified bringer of that normally on cable.
Because all I have is sign in and watch it on their site.
Yeah, you just watch it on their site.
Term. A qualified bringer of that sort of thing on cable. That's on their leaflet. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. Come on, I'm trying to be technical here.
It sounds technical.
I'm thinking about switching my qualified bringer of cable. Which one do you think I should go with?
I think you should go with.
It's so hard because there's so many good bringers.
There's so many qualified bringers.
As bringers of cable go.
Excellent bringer of cable things is a pretty good company.
All right. Well, on that note.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, it's time for us to do town crier. It comes to us via emails and phone calls. Phone number is 801-471-0462, or you can email us, theinstance@gmail.com. Let's start with calls. They want to know how long was the longest.
This is Macho Mage from Morgan Ash. Quick question. Now, so many people play World of Warcraft for so many hours in one sitting. My question to you guys is, what is the longest time you guys ever played World of Warcraft in one sitting? Bye.
Okay, single sitting time record for yourself. And this probably goes back for some of us because I think the last few expansions I haven't had marathons.
I never kept track of it. But.
Yeah, but if you had to guess, like, your worst, for me it was probably about, it's not going to be that embarrassing. It was maybe 7, maybe 8 hours once. Back in vanilla.
I've definitely done from the moment I got up to the moment I went to bed.
Oh, before. Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, easy,
Burning Crusade, probably, you know, when I was working in the movie industry, sometimes I wouldn't, you know, have to go to work for a little while. And I think waking up at like, I don't know, 10 and going to sleep at 2 in the morning and doing basically almost nothing but play WoW for all of that time, except for a couple of, you know, bio breaks, as we used to call them. And eating.
I think we still do. I think that's still what people call them. Yeah.
Okay.
So when you were
Scott, because we used to defecate back
then. This was before modern technology.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Before osmosis and Apple watches.
I would love that.
Apple watches just absorb it right through your skin.
So Patrick, when you weren't Mr. Hasselhoff's personal assistant. This is when you were playing. Is that what your job? What? Tell me about your movie time. I didn't know anything about this. When did you work in the movie industry?
You didn't?
No.
The Movielicious podcast. You don't remember that?
Right. Doesn't that qualify? I had, you know, 2 hours of work every week.
We gave three levels of review. It was constructive.
that was hard work.
Did you have to like?
This movie's 98 good.
Was it like set stuff or what'd you do? I had no idea for real.
So when I, you know, I lived in Japan for a while.
Yeah.
And so after that, I said, you know, Japan sucks. I'm going to come back to France and work in movies. And so I did that. I came back and I worked, I was initially an intern on a couple of movies, and then I moved up and I ended up being an assistant director, which, if you know a little bit about the movie industry, basically means you manage the schedule of the shooting schedule and the set. And I was also an assistant producer on, among other things, Japanese commercials that were shot in Europe. Different places in Europe. So
wow, when you said Japan, I was like, please don't say tentacle porn next.
Yeah, don't
but
say
then
those
you
words.
Didn't. So I was like, phew.
So we are not going to mention this in this show. Excellent.
They call it French tickler porn. It's a little bit different.
Yeah. So I did that, and thankfully there were time between projects that sometimes were you know, reasonably far apart. I had a little bit of time to myself to play WoW and do podcasts and stuff. And so I did.
Good.
That's what I did.
There you go.
And yeah, I sometimes sent, I sometimes tried multiple mods in the game and sent reviews of the of said mods to an English podcast that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a great show too back in the day. Remember that thing? It was a hell of a show.
Yeah. No, now the clowns
really gone to hell though.
Piece of festering shit. Terpster, you didn't say anything about how long.
Yeah,
your longest...
no, over 24 hours. I don't know how long after that, but I know we've back in the day we did like a whole.
Because you were still in high, well, what we'd call high school when your game came out.
We were doing like a Arathi, not bloody hell, Winter Grasp. No, what's the really Altrat Valley? Yeah. There we go. Sorry.
Yeah.
We were doing those from start to finish.
You were in high school, Terpster?
Well, I didn't quite complete high school.
No, but you were at the age that
it
you
was
were...
10 years ago. So
I was 16 when WoW came out.
Yeah,
I was, you know, I was, well, actually, I don't even know. I think I was 15.
You're such a baby.
Exactly. And I was one of those guys in the guild who everyone thought like, God, that guy is hilarious. And then I got on vent and they'd be like, hey guys. Yeah. And they're like, who is this? Who is this?
This is the T, the underscore T.
Come on, guys. It's me, the Terpinator. Come on. I was sent back to the future to bring you great lols. Fortunately, my use of dank memes got me through those early days.
That is amazing.
And, the funny thing, though, is that your voice hasn't changed that much.
No, exactly. Exactly. And one of the ways I won favor with these older gentlemen was by sending them pictures of myself in my underwear.
No.
No. It was by playing longer and harder than anyone else could because they all had jobs and or lives. Yeah. And I was in like Silithus,
you got stamina,
farming mats. Exactly. Yeah. I was the first gnome on my server to have a human horse mount.
Oh, good
back
Lord.
When it meant something. And I was there rocking it out, level 60, more rune cloth than I care to imagine, on my beautiful white steed. Obviously now it's quite easy to do that.
Well, there
back
you
in the day,
back
in the day, it took many of an hour.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm probably closer to Patrick's there with like 18 hours or something like that.
I mean, you got it. When I started, it was in 03 in the alpha and played a lot then. And then in release, Nick was like 3 or 4 years old and we had, you know, my kids were young and little and it was hard to get that kind of time away to play on the computer that long. But even then I could muster maybe 8, but 24, that's like those guys that die at internet cafes in South Korea.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because you would get on there, and you know, if you had friends with you as well, it didn't feel quite as lonely. It don't make it out like I was like some crazy. Wow, it was probably crazy, but still.
Dropping out of school. So yeah, and that's what you. To be fair, you're now the CEO of a very successful new media enterprise. So
exactly,
I guess the lesson from all of this is drop out of school, play 24 hours of WoW, and you're set.
No, I got all A's in my A levels and stuff. I did really well at school, but that doesn't mean that you can't then also play the balls out of World of Warcraft,
which was
my passion and my way to
absolutely do all of those.
Shut
things.
Off. It's exactly. It's a fantastic way to spend some of your time.
I like that. Well, let's. Let's move on. We got one last call, and then we'll do an email or so, and then we'll get out of here. Here's this final call.
This is Joseph from Ontario, Canada. I think the major issue with WoW nowadays and the slowdown is because every expansion after Cataclysm has been smaller and smaller. There's been less dungeons, less PvP added to the game with each expansion. And then now they're emphasizing raid, so the dungeons are de-emphasized. Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
I don't know if I agree that they're smaller. They're just maybe more focused in some ways, or they've certain things didn't work. Like in vanilla, a 40-man raid seemed like a really brilliant idea, but they eventually went, this is unwieldy. How about 25? Yeah, that feels better. And then they kind of, you know, iterate from there. But I wouldn't say that this is just purely a look how much less content this expansion has compared to the last ones. You know, I'd argue that Warlords has more than Pandaria did. So I don't know if that holds, but you know, there have been a lot of theories floating around.
I mean, Warlords, if you want to do all of the single player content, it will take you a really long time. If you want to go through all the zones and complete all of them, it's at least as long as it was in Pandaria, if not more. And I think there are a bunch of dungeons that now are relatively easy, but it, back then it was a little bit, you know, when a few months ago when it first launched, it was really challenging. Mm-hmm. And we already have a second raid now. Mm-hmm. We might have a third one coming, I'm guessing. So, I don't think there's a little bit less PvP, maybe, and that might be because the PvP zone is, you know, what the direction they decided to go with. And even then, you have a lot of PvP battlegrounds. I don't think you should add infinitely more PvP battlegrounds. At some point, it becomes unwieldy. So,
chat room made a good point about how he's saying in the call, it's every expansion after Cataclysm. We literally have two, one that's new.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think he's probably lumping Cata in with that, though, because, like, if you think about ICC and all that stuff, the Lich King stuff was all seemed like very big, right? Seemed like there was a lot going on there. I could see how it would feel like each one after that has had less than that one because that one was just so immersive.
Yeah, but
I think it's just a feeling. Yeah. I don't think it's actually like it's one of those things that feels true but probably isn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with
that. When you play the game and
I agree with that. It's easy to get in your head. I mean, it's so much time has passed, yet so little time has passed. So much content has been past your face, yet has it really, you know? Like, it's just easy to get caught into whatever loop you're in. And Cataclysm is both divisive and interesting and a weird place in the lifetime of the game. And in a lot of ways, it reset things in some ways, you know, was the least amount of content. But not really, because most of that was because you were flying everywhere and it felt like there was less. I mean, there's all these factors.
I would argue, though, that I think the dungeon stuff, the five-man stuff, has gotten, like, it was hard for a little while, but I felt like when we were doing, Wrath and stuff, I was still doing five-mans. I felt like I was doing five-mans forever there, and I definitely don't feel like, I have no incentive to do a five-man right now, like, none at all.
Yeah. Back
then, it was five-man that were your, if you weren't raiding, and even raiding was once a week or twice a week, but the bread and butter of your WoW playtime was five-mans. And you would do them over and over and over again. And honestly, it was fun. I didn't mind at all. That was what the game was. You would do your daily, and you would accrue your valor points and get your gear. I mean, that was it for me, and it was fun.
Dollaround daily dungeons were some of my favorite bits of the game ever. I love that. Yeah.
I guess you have your in your garrison, your guy will give you that random daily, and sometimes it's a dungeon, and then you can go to the, it's the one where you get, it's like the tavern.
Oh, right.
You get followers and stuff. Mm-hmm. You get a daily dungeon kind of thing. Yeah, but then they give you random stuff.
Yeah.
You can't target it, though. You have to, you have to go randomly trying to get into that dungeon. And I think that might be helpful, actually, if you could, it would give you that. Well,
if Terpster has his way, one of your followers in the tavern will give you your damn BlizzCon ticket if you get lucky enough.
Well, you set up. Why not? Why not?
Exactly. I don't know. Why not?
Make it Harrison Jones, and it's like, son of man, I got to do another. Have you got Harris? Who's got Harrison up today, guys? Yeah. You know, just in G chat.
Yeah.
Because that's what you want anyway. He's an amazing follower.
He really is. He's one of the best. quick emails here. We got one from this guy who says, "Super Evil Monkey Boy" is his name. He says, "Hey guys, I've started listening to your podcast and thinking about starting to play it, but I'm clueless on what you need in order to play the newest DLC. I think the fact that he calls it DLC kind of points out that he is truly new to the game. He hasn't really played it before. Do I need all of the stuff prior to Warlords of Draenor? Thank you for your help or any that you can give. I'm just completely clueless on these things." So, you have to buy what is called the Battle Chest, and that is the entirety of sort of vanilla up through Pandaria, which you can currently do at, I think, 39. I'm not 100% sure on that. I have checked the gear store. What,
money?
Yeah, $39.
Yeah, if that. It's often on sale.
No, it's cheaper than that.
Is it cheaper than that now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's the battle chest right now? Let's see. Battle chest.
But even then, does it have to be the battle chest, or is it just any older version of the game? Doesn't it all come with it?
Well, you pay. Here's the deal.
I think you need the battle chest.
If you're doing it by a disc method, okay, you got to get the battle chest. But if you're buying it online, you can download the client, play it after the trial, say, "I want to stay," and you're essentially paying for a digital version of the battle chest. So you just do the same thing. So whatever that price is there, it's the same as retail. Then to play Warlords content, you need to spend, which is, I think that is 39 on top of whatever the battle chest costs you.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the BattleNet, battle dot, let's see, the battle chest right now, hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, Warlords is 49. World of Warcraft battle chest looks like is 19.99. Does that include everything though? Let's just.
I think you got a party there, haven't you? Like,
I thought that they said that if you had World of Warcraft and you missed any expansion,
but that's if I think you could just buy. Players. Yeah.
Okay, that was just for existing players. Okay.
Yeah.
So a new player would just, but yeah, that would make sense. Just buy Battle Chest and Draenor, and then you're good to go.
Oh yeah, here it is.
To make you jump through any more hoops than that would be really deterring new players.
It's funny how they've listed it because they don't even they just call it World of Warcraft digital download, $20, and they show old imagery from like BC and vanilla. They're not even bothering to say anything other than includes levels 1 to 90. The implication there is this is World of Warcraft proper. The only difference is this new expansion called Warlords of Draenor. So
Yeah, so it's two purchases, essentially.
Yeah. You make one, play the hell out of it, decide if you want the other one, or boost to 90 with the other one. But I don't know. Yeah. For a new guy like
Yeah, and again, you can play the free one, can't you? Just the starter edition, just to see if you like 20. It.
Yeah, I'd do that. I'd try the starter and see what you think, because you can do that up to a level or whatever and never pay a dime. And if you like it, then maybe buy Warlords and boost to 90 if you don't want to do all that other content. But some of the part that makes me sad, and I understand it shouldn't because I get the path and I understand why you'd want to boost. But for a new guy like that, my brain says there's so much for him to see that he won't see.
Yeah, but there's also so much content in first. Warlords.
Yeah. True.
I'd say just get the basic, the battle chest. It's really cheap. And I don't know for you guys, but for me, the game didn't click until I had spent at least a week playing and, you know, above level 20, I think, especially today that level 20 is going to be 2 days.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, did it click for you guys from the beginning, or did you need to play a little bit more than that?
I think it depends on if you come to it from other MMOs. I was playing Dark Age of Camelot and before that EverQuest, and to me this was a revelation because it took the things I loved about those games, got rid of all the really crappy things I hated about those, and gave me a game that seemed like the perfect mix of everything, and I was immediately hooked and loved it from day one. So I don't...
Well, I used to play EverQuest as well, and I very famously tried Warcraft in the beta and decided that it was dumb and thought that EverQuest 2 was so much better because it was like realistic and it had like things and I was never trust me about anything ever. But
it's a general rule of thumb.
Yeah. In general for everything. Yeah. But yeah, I was into those games as well, and I didn't really understand how deep the gameplay of WoW was until I hit level, I guess 30 something like that. It didn't become super fun playing that.
Yeah. I was sad at the beginning that it didn't have, because my WoW RPG love was always squarely in the Diablo camp, Diablo 2 and action RPGs. And I was sad that when I would go and kill a thing, it wasn't just dropping random shit. And I remember that bugged me for a couple of weeks. Not because, you know, WoW is better or not better with it or without it, because it's a very different game and I understand it now. But at the time, I just thought, well, this is Blizzard. There should be like gold and crap falling out of everything I kill, and I should be able to go make money with that or wear it right now. And the game wasn't about that at all. It was troll sweat and copper coins. And that took a while for me to get my head around. But once I did, it's fine.
I was hooked right away.
Oh, go ahead, Dills.
I was hooked right away. Like as soon as I started playing, I tried the trial. That was like the first experience.
You
I
came
had.
BC, right?
No, I was in vanilla. But it was when they started doing the 7-day trial, and I was like, because I'd avoided it because I knew I would like it a lot and probably play the hell out of it, and then I just kind of caved.
Yeah.
But yeah, the moment I logged in and started playing and got to like Goldshire and stuff, I was like, yep, I'm going to do this all the time, every day. We're in. We're in 100%.
Well, it's...
When did you start playing?
I guess it was 2004 or 2005.
Oh, so it was at the beginning.
Yeah. It was at... Yeah, like there was like Molten Core was out. There wasn't a lot of raiding going on.
Probably early 05. I'm thinking.
Like, but yeah, it was still vanilla and all that. And I never got to 60 before BC came out. I had tunes spread out all over the place. So we're all like level 40, yeah. 45, 47. Mm-hmm. And I never got to 60. And then when BC came out, I was like, all right, I got to do this. I got
to
get there.
Back then, people forget. Wow. Vanilla was work to get to 60. It wasn't like...
It really was. Like, getting your mount and everything was insane. Was I remember hard. The first time I got a mount, I was so excited.
Yeah.
And so you didn't experience the joy of 10 people's... Oh, it wasn't Skullman's. What was it when you...
Stratholme and 10 people. You could do 10 people's Skull as well, I think.
I guess so.
No, I did a bunch of the five-mans on the way up, but I never did any of the...
It was UBRS, I think.
The first time
Ubers
I rated...
Well, yeah, and Lowe's Batman. Oh,
Ubers. Well. Ubers was more. I think you do Ubers with more than 10 people.
Could you? Could
there was 15? One dungeon that was... That
one
was
of them was maybe
25
or something. I don't know. But no, the first time I raided was Magtheridon.
Oh yeah!
All right, cool.
That was the very first raid I did, and I was the top DPS.
That was a like, fun.
I'm in.
Did you get your sack?
I got a sack. All I was wearing was PvP gear because I was PvPing a lot. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't ever raiding, and then I came in, and I remember it was Palatinus and. What was the warlock who was really good back in the day? I don't know. It was some like old AIE people. And this was after I got into AIE. Mm. And we did, Magtheridon had to like do, I didn't know anything about mechanics. I was so noobish, but I was a hunter and I was Beastmaster and I was OP as hell.
Yeah,
I auto shot and I drank some mana stuff.
Yeah, they had the, that was a hard dungeon it's hard to solo now because they had that weird cube thing you all had to get around and.
Yeah, you run around and click the cubes.
Yeah, it was tricky. I remember that felt like the first moment of, oh, they're going to get creative with dungeon mechanics, are they? That was like for me, that felt revelatory compared to other dungeons for whatever reason. The rest of them just
right
like
after that, that was like Karazhan was a thing. And so then it was like. Rating is the funnest thing you could ever do.
Yeah, gruel and all that. It was good. All right. Well, that was a nostalgic walkthrough back to time. It's going to do it for the show. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Does anyone have anything cool to announce? So Kraken Con this weekend, right?
Yeah, Kraken Con. I'll be there tomorrow at 12. I'll be speaking. So if people are interested in that, that's at 12, and it's in like some side room. I don't even know what the layout's going to look like, but it's Oakland Convention Center. Tickets are fairly cheap. And I think they're still available, so go check it out. There's a lot of anime stuff. People will be like dressed up and all that kind of stuff. So
metal,
if you like that,
metal detectors and all that, because you're in.
Of course, Oakland. I mean, it's the mean streets. So,
been gentrified yet? All right, good.
But then on Sunday, we're just going to be doing kind of like a fireside gathering, basically all day. They've got like a little table set up for me in the gaming area, and they got some tablets for us, and so we'll have some prizes to give out, and we'll just basically be. I'm going to have some of the guys from Game Night Showdown Esports and some of the guys from Hearthlytics.com are going to be hanging out with me, and we're just going to be playing Hearthstone all day.
That's
so,
great. That sounds awesome.
That'll be fun as hell.
Yeah, people, check it out. Willie Dills on Twitter, of course. Willie Dills on Terpster.
Willie Dills on Terpster. Yeah.
That's,
check that out.
That's how this is going to happen. Spectacular.
Terpster, you got any more conventions for 13-year-olds you're going to this weekend, or what are you doing?
Not for a little while. No, I've got one in May. But past that, no, I'm on holiday for a week.
Oh, good.
So I'm just spending it at home doing nothing.
Ah, it's lovely. Good. Staycation, we call those. That's great.
Or staycation.
4 hours a day of
exactly.
Over Hearthstone and WoW and all that stuff.
Well, a quick update.
Well, I wish, but yes.
Well, a quick update from the Terpster Scott corner. The Hypothetical Help reboot is happening. Some have asked when. We have a couple of final details working out on the way we're going to push that thing out, but we're close. So
I'm holding firm on my contract negotiation.
Yeah, he's not immovable.
And I said $30 or more, Scott. Otherwise, I'm not even going to think about it.
Or I'm out. So
I'm out.
You guys will have a way to make that happen very soon. I think sometime next week you'll hear big news on the launch of that thing. So. Watch for that. So fans of the original Hypothetical Help, rejoice. It's coming back. Patrick, you got anything going on? I loved being on your Pixel show, by the way. That was a blast.
I'm sorry?
I loved being on Pixels with you. It was a total blast.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, I guess I could recommend listeners go listen to that. Pixels is a show about video games. And last episode, we had Scott on, and we basically got... I tried to explain to people who don't know Bloodborne, that very difficult console game, what it is, and I got the best comparison ever, and it is basically a drill sergeant, and it yells at you, and it tells you to go out in the woods and shoot bears, and it completely works. And that's one of the many things we discussed, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's available at frenchspin.com, and yep. you can listen to that. It's Pixels.
Yeah. And don't forget Patrick on Twitter as not Patrick. Terpster is the underscore T. I'm at Scott Johnson. The show is at Instance Show. Of course, Willie Dills. What else? Oh, our theme is created by Matthew Oxley. Big thanks to intern Paul Swicker. Takes care of our show notes. You can find all that at theinstance.net. More shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Patrick, for Terpster, and for Dills. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Oh, that has a good show right there. Don't forget, ladies and germinators. What? Scott, that was terrible. You can support this show and all shows on the Frog Pants Network for very little. Just go to patreon.com/frogpants, and even $1 a month would go a huge way to support the shows you love the most. That's patreon.com/frogpants, and thanks.
Hey, Scott, Dills, Terpster, Patrick. It's Wemp here from the Bind on Equip podcast. Look, I was listening to your recent show where you were talking about your daughter's friend, Jasmine, and her husband-to-be, Max. They're going to become the Isleys. Look, and it occurred to me, if they have a kid, they've got to name that kid Moss, don't they? I mean, come on! Moss Isley? If you've got that opportunity, you have to take it. It's your responsibility. Am I right? Bye.
Hail to the king, baby.
Anger arises from award ceremony acrimony. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. The Explorers Guild is famous for seeking out knowledge in every nook and cranny of Azeroth, and every year they meet at a grand banquet to give out their I Went Awards, recognizing the best books and scholarly articles published about that year's expeditions. For decades, the awards went solely to dwarves, but in recent years the organization has begun to recognize the works of other races, both Alliance and Horde. Even a Murloc won an award last year for a pictorial travelogue of the islands off the coast of Northrend's Borean tundra. This new diversity has not sat well with some more traditional members, and in response, a faction known as the Upset Underdwellers has hijacked this year's nomination process, filling the ballot with works by dwarven authors to the almost complete exclusion of all others. The publication of the ballot caused an immediate uproar, and it is unclear whether the ceremony will be held at all this year. Revered explorer Bran Bronzebeard released an open letter lamenting the hijacking, saying, quote, "The thirst for knowledge and the drive to explore our world is shared by all races, and the Guild should recognize those accomplishments. To do otherwise would be petty and spiteful. We dwarves may be small of stature, but I would hope that when it comes to the Iwents, we are not small of mind." Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at overlydramaticnews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Welcome to the Feltron.
We're going to change things up a little bit and convert from warlock news and tips to looking at all of the wonderful expressions of specialness inside the WoW forums. This first post comes from Demon A, a human death knight on the Cenarius server entitled 4 years free of WoW. Yeah, I have enough gold to play WoW free for 4 years with tokens. Still not worth it without flying. 22 days till I expire again. I know you refuse to talk about it, devs, but could you please let us know if flying is ever going to return this expansion? Lore? Bash? Anyone? And to anyone offering alternatives, I honestly don't give a crap about your opinions. But please, feel free to spew your misguided attempts. It's the forums, after all. I will enjoy ignoring them. Well, Demon A, as the new self-appointed guardian of the forums, I say, you know what? That's just crazy. If you have enough gold to play for 4 years off of just token purchases, that means you're very dedicated. Secondly, you know Josh Allen, Lore, and Bashyok, and all of them so well you can use nicknames and their character names? Wow, I'm impressed. And thirdly, and I'll go straight to the first reply from the thread. Try flapping your arms really fast when you jump off of something high. Yeah, there's your flying. To contact the show, you can send a reply to Fel_Tron on Twitter.
Hey there, this is Jules.
And this is Mark Conan, and we're the hosts of Torin Think Tank. We're the podcast all about the stuff you deal with as players of WoW, interacting with people both inside and outside of the game.
We talk about the tough stuff, the funny stuff, and everything in between. And it's driven by your letters and what you want us to cover.
Here's what we were talking about in our latest show.
I honestly had not thought about any kind of recording voice work or anything until somebody said, man, you've got a good voice. It sounds like you should be on the radio or something. You know, because I like doing the voices, you know. It's enjoyable to do funny things with your voice all day, every day. But then you didn't, you know, I heard myself, but I didn't listen to myself.
You just said something very, very poignant right there. Because you sometimes don't listen, really listen to what someone says to you on something in positive form to tell you that you're good at something or that you're worthy or that you're, you know, you have skills and talents and how you could turn that into something that would really make you happy.
You can find the latest episodes of Torin Think Tank on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or on our website at torinthinktank.com.
We can't wait to meet you. So until next time, slash moo, everybody.
Slash moo.
Hi, Scott and the Instance Crew. This is Wiggles here from Eve Radio, and also an avid WoW player, Eve player, MMO player, gamer. Just a general gamer. I like games. Just chiming in on the WoW token discussion from a couple of weeks ago. Now that it's now gone live in Europe tonight, as I record this, just to point out, a lot of people have not really grasped what the WoW token is for. Obviously, it's for extending your game time, but why Blizzard are doing it? They're doing it for one and one reason only: to combat illicit, illegal, naughty RMT. The, you know, the illicit bad sites where you go, oh, we'll go and buy you golds. Or it used to be glods back in many, many moons ago. You go, you want to buy glods? They tend to you. Anyway, they're doing this. They're taking a leaf out of CCP's book. CCP did this with plexes. Well, originally it was GTCs, then ETCs, game time codes, then EVE time codes, and they turned it into plex codes. And basically they took a stranglehold on the illicit ISK selling market. Blizzard are doing this exactly the same with the WoW tokens. And a lot of people don't understand, well, why is it going so high? Why all that. Yeah. Long and the short of it is, it's good. We need this in every game, every MMO out there, every game out there that has an in-game currency you can buy and sell. It needs it. It's good for the economy. It's good for everything. It will, yeah, people will spike. I pulled the trigger at just under 45k tonight. The highest, I think, 44,981 gold tonight. I pulled the trigger and sold one. Well done. But you know what? It's disposable income. If you've got the money to spend on it, spend on it. If you haven't, then don't.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Magra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, should I be concerned about the amount of miners' coffee being consumed in my garrison? Miners' coffee is a wonderful little pick-me-up that allows you to run around in your mine like an ice-spine hatchling on Kajakola. This efficiency maker will help your miners to get more work done in less time and get you all the ore you will need for everything you need to do. And I do mean everything. You should really be more concerned about the amount of miners' coffee you can still pick up in your garrison mine. Have you not wondered why you are finding full cups around everywhere when the miners walk so casually back and forth? I think you may have accidentally hired a bunch of peons instead of miners. I am Miss Mogra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh!
Follow at Miss Mogra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmogra.com. Thanks to Frimelda from Dentarg for this week's question.
Ludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben the Mage.
Seriously, Ben, we're gone for a couple weeks. We come back, and all you do is pick on me the entire show.
What? I have
couldn't
no
even let up.
No, what? Seriously, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay, right. So they worked on your mouth and you just happened to start saying all the mean things. Seriously, Ben, that is a lame excuse. Dentistry does not do that.
Look, it's not my fault that dentists did that and you went ahead and encouraged it.
Your dental work, Ben. Go get your mouth fixed to be nice. Or is it that fame and victories have gone to your head? It is, huh?
Well, you know what? You can judge for yourself by listening to Battle Pets Episode 63, Fire Breathing Postman, where we talk about upcoming in-game changes, banter a lot about whatever pops into our heads, how bad movies have influenced pet battles, and read your letters, which were thankfully not dragon-delivered.
Seriously, I think the dentist did some. Let me see. Give me your mouth. Oh my god, you have a crown, Ben! You have a crown, and you haven't won the contest yet. You don't just get a crown.
Ah, my tooth.
That's right.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.